You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Friday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is April 25th, and we had a ton of sports action last night between the NBA, the NHL, and the first round of the NFL draft, so let's talk about it. All right, so we'll start off real quick in the NBA, where we had Game 3 between the Knicks and the Pistons in Detroit. Came into this one tied 1-1. And the Knicks would end up going on to win 118-116 in a super tight game. It felt like the Knicks led this one the whole time, and I looked back at the game cast just to double check, and the Pistons only led by four like early in the second quarter, and then they were trailing the remainder of the game. So even though this was tight throughout, it just never felt like they could get over the hump. And the Knicks get a big win on the road. Definitely shocked me. I thought the Pistons would come back after the momentum from game two. They're coming home, huge playoff game, like probably the most like impactful playoff game in like 20 years, almost like 17 years. And I thought they would have a ton of energy. The place would be rocking, and it was, but they just could not get the dub. The starters were all great for the Knicks. Bridges had 20 points. Anunoby had 22. Cat had 31. Brunson had 30. And then Josh Hart only had 6 points, but he almost had a triple-double. He had 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So just great all-around effort. Obviously, all of those guys playing for Tibbs played a ton of minutes, so not a ton of production off the bench. Just 9 points from the rest of their bench players. But the starters were great, and they needed to be. On the Pistons side, Cade had another really good game. He had 24 points. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 24 points. He made 7 threes, so he was super efficient. But aside from that, they didn't get a ton of production from any of the other starters. Dern had an all right game. He had 16 points. And then Schroeder was okay off the bench with 18, but again, just not enough to get it done. The Knicks were just too good, and they take a 2-1 series lead in a game that they really needed. We'll see if the Pistons can come back and win game four and tie up the series, but huge, huge dub for the Knicks. Then we had the Thunder and the Grizzlies, and I was on a plane while this game was happening, and I checked early on, and I saw the Grizzlies were up huge, and at one point they even led by, I want to say, 29. And so I didn't even think about the rest of this game. I thought, okay, like Thunder are up 2-0 in the series, or coming into it, I thought, okay, Thunder are up 2-0 in the series, they're probably just going to sweep, even though this game's in Memphis. And then when I checked the score and saw them up 29, I thought, okay, Grizzlies got a little bit of fight in them. We'll see if they can make something out of this series. And then I didn't even check the score until I landed, and I saw the Thunder won, and it blew my mind. I could not believe that they actually somehow won that game. And it turns out Ja got hurt right before halftime and just completely changed the momentum of this game. And the Thunder outscored them 63-31 in the second half, just utter dominance. And it was all their usual suspects. SGA had 31, even though it took him 26 shots, not a super efficient night. Jalen Williams had 26, Chet had 24. And then they got double digit scoring from Caruso and Isaiah Joe off the bench. So Thunder go up 3-0 now. I'm almost certain that they'll sweep. I'm not sure if Ja will even play in game four, but just demoralizing loss for the Grizzlies after being up by so much. Like I said, I was in just disbelief seeing that they somehow lost this game. But yeah, it happened. So yep, 3-0 now for the Thunder. Probably close it out, even though game four in Memphis. Not a lot of faith left for the Grizzlies after blowing that one. And then the final game of the night, we had the Clippers and the Nuggets. This one tied 1-1 with the Clippers hosting this one in LA. And they pretty much dominated this one throughout. It was a wire-to-wire win. They were up by 7 after the first, up by 18 at the half, and then just increased the lead throughout the second half. And they would go on to win 117-183 in dominant fashion. Jokic and Murray still played pretty well for the Nuggets. They both had 23 points on pretty efficient nights. Jokic had a triple-double. He had 13 rebounds, 13 assists, but just not enough for them. Michael Porter Jr. had kind of a rough game. They got almost no production off the bench, just 6 points from everyone that didn't start. Russ had a rough night. Watson had a rough night. And just no one else could get anything going. So Clippers take a 2-1 series lead. They had a super balanced night. Kawhi had 21, Harden had 20, Powell had 20, Zubac had 19, and then they got some help off the bench too as those guys got some minutes as the score kind of got out of hand. So yeah, Clippers go up 2-1. They have game four also in LA, so they can take a pretty commanding lead if they're able to win game four as well. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up all the NBA scores that we had last night. We did have four games also in the NHL. The Panthers beat the Lightning on the road to take a 2-0 series lead. And then the Maple Leafs beat the Senators in overtime 3-2 to take a 3-0 series lead. The Wild beat the Knights at home to take a 2-1 series lead as they won 5-2. And then the Blues crushed the Jets 7-2 to also take a 2-1 series lead in that one. But then I want to talk a lot about the draft last night. Obviously, we had the first round in Green Bay, and I love how the NFL mixed this up where instead of just having the draft in New York every year, or New York City, they have it in these other locations, and I think it's been such a solid move for them. It's so fun to see all these other cities, see all their fans come out, and I got to go last year to the one in Detroit, and I had an absolute blast there. It was a fantastic experience, and I'm sure it was similar in Green Bay this year. I wanted to go, but busy this weekend, so not able to, but I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, and the first round looked awesome. So kind of walking through some of the picks real quick. First pick, no surprise, Cam Ward goes number one to the Titans. Talked a little bit about this yesterday where, you know, it seems like sort of a down year for quarterbacks. A lot of guys have rated Ward, you know, they basically said if this was last year's draft, he'd probably be like the sixth or seventh quarterback. So maybe a little bit of a reach for the Titans, but they need someone at that position. You know, they just haven't had the answers the past few years, and he was the best available. So he goes number one, no surprise there. But then we got the big surprise of the night, or one of them at least, as the Browns traded with the Jags for the second pick. So kind of a blockbuster trade. So the Browns end up, they trade that second pick, and they get, in return, they get the fifth pick. So they swap 2 and 5. Then they got a second round pick, which is 36th overall, a fourth round pick, which is 126th overall, and a first round pick next year. So on paper, it looks like a massive, massive haul for the Browns just to move back three spots. Obviously the Jags, assuming Travis Hunter is going to be a generational player, I'm assuming they're probably going to use him on both sides of the ball. That's why you would give up so much capital for a player like that, just to move up a few spots. But that's the pick that they made. And then really, as more of the trade details came out, it didn't look like as much of a haul as I originally thought. The Jags also got a fourth round pick back from the Browns and a sixth round pick. They were at 104 and 200 overall. So really they moved up three spots to essentially move, you know, back 68 spots from their second round pick and 74 spots from their fourth round pick. And then obviously giving up the first rounder next year is going to be a big deal as well. But you know, if you view Hunter as essentially like a generational prospect on offense and defense, you're basically getting two players for one, which would kind of make up for that first round pick next year. But obviously that's it's a huge risk. Any injuries that he has, you're also losing two players at the same time in theory. And you just have to hope that he's going to be that good on both sides of the ball and that he can handle, you know, the trials and tribulations of an NFL game, or throughout a whole NFL season. So it's a lot of snaps if he ends up playing a majority of them both ways. But so anyway, he goes number two to the Jags, and then Abdul Carter goes number three to the Giants. That wasn't too much of a surprise. It's what most people were expecting coming into this one. Will Campbell goes number four to the Patriots, and he had a great quote. If you saw the interview right after he got drafted, he was saying like he will fight and die essentially to protect Drake May. He just looks like a great guy. Great pick for the Patriots there at number four. Then we had the Browns at five, where they traded down from two. They end up with Mason Graham, the D tackle out of Michigan. You know, what feels like another great pick, you know, maybe not as elite as Travis Hunter, but he had a great career. Really no surprise there as he helped shore up their D line, alongside Myles Garrett there. And then number six, the Raiders took Ashton Jeanty, the Heisman finalist last year from Boise State. Hard to hate that pick. I mean, you can debate the value of running backs, but he's just so explosive and such an elite talent. He should be able to transform that offense on his own, essentially. Then we had the Jets at seven. They took Membu, the lineman out of Missouri. Panthers at eight. They took McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. And he seemed like a pretty polarizing prospect. And honestly, he wasn't talked about a ton in the national media. You know, there's a lot of talk about the quarterbacks and some of the other flashy guys at the top. But I've seen some guys have had him rated super, super high, like the number one receiver. And you know, that's what he was taken as number one, but then some other experts have had him ranked really low, or not maybe really low, but as like a second, third, fourth round talent. So we'll see how he pans out as the Panthers try to give Bryce Young another weapon there in Carolina. And then at number nine, the Saints took Kelvin Banks, the offensive lineman from Texas, and the Bears wrapped up the top 10 with Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan. And, you know, most people, I think, on their big boards had Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, as the top tight end. But I think a lot of teams quietly liked Loveland and his playmaking ability, even though Warren was so electric at Penn State. And so it seems like a good pick for them. They didn't have to move up or down. There were some rumors that they may move up and try and get Jeanty, or maybe if he fell to them, they would take him. But they end up with another playmaker, you know, in Chicago on a team full of them right now. So some other notable picks going down the line. Tyler Warren, who I just mentioned, ended up going 14 to the Colts. And then, but at this point, we still hadn't had Shedeur Sanders drafted. And so we kind of start getting through some of the other teams that don't really need quarterbacks at this time. So you're starting to wonder, okay, like how many teams may even draft him, or, you know, would even draft a quarterback at this point. And the next team that I thought had the chance to was the Steelers at 21. They end up taking Derek Harmon, the D tackle out of Oregon. And now you're really starting to wonder, okay, like, is he going to go? Maybe will the, you know, some of the other teams we thought about, maybe the Giants, maybe the Raiders, but they were picking so early, obviously did not take him. And then at 26, the Giants trade up and they take Jackson Dart. So all of a sudden, there's not really a lot of other teams that need a quarterback at the end of the first round there. And so Shedeur ends up going undrafted in the first round, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a second. But I wanted to run through a couple of the other picks. Another fun one was the Packers taking Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas, at 23. Obviously, being the home draft team or whatever you want to call it. So that was a really cool moment. They hadn't taken a receiver in the first round since 2002, and seeing him taken, coming out to the crowd, them all chanting "Go Pack, Go!" was a really cool scene there, up in Green Bay. And then obviously I mentioned Jackson Dart taken at 25, and then we had another trade at 26. So actually, let me run through the details for the Giants trade real quick. So they ended up moving up from 34 to 25. They traded with the Texans to get there, and they also had to give up their third round pick, which was 99th overall, and a third round pick next year. So really nothing in the top few, or I guess I should say in the first round, like the Jags had to give up, but still a pretty good haul just to move up nine spots that the Texans got. But anyway, so they take Dart, which seemed to be a little bit of a better fit with Dable, just kind of similar in, I guess, traits to Josh Allen and some of the quarterbacks that he had dealt with before. So again, thought Shedeur might go there, but not a total surprise that they ended up taking Dart. And then we had a trade at 26 also, where the Falcons traded up with the Rams to get James Pierce Jr., the D end out of Tennessee. They gave up a second rounder, a seventh rounder, and a first rounder next year. They also got a third rounder in return. So a lot more picks moved there for them to move up and get their target at defensive end. And then Let's see, after that, we had Malachi Starks fell to the Ravens at 27. And then we also had the Chiefs and the Eagles swapping the 32nd and 31st picks as the Eagles took Jihad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama, and the Chiefs took Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State. So that pretty much wrapped up the first round. But, you know, there were a couple big themes. One, Shedeur Sanders not being drafted, relatively big surprise. But again, another polarizing character, obviously not as as much of an elite athlete as his father, but got a ton of praise at Colorado. Some people think, you know, he was maybe the top quarterback in the draft. Some guys think he maybe should be going in like the third, fourth, fifth round even. So it's kind of tough to discern from the media hype train and the actual prospect that he is, but maybe not a huge surprise to some people, but others had him going, you know, in the top three a couple weeks ago in mock drafts. So we'll see where he eventually falls to. The Browns do have the first pick of the second round, and they ended up not taking a quarterback, so he may go at 33, which would have been really interesting if they didn't trade back from two, if they would have taken Travis Hunter and then Shedeur at 33, and they end up with both guys from Colorado. But obviously that didn't happen, even though they still could get Sanders. And then, you know, the next biggest story is going to be where the rest of the quarterbacks go. I mean, you still have Jalen Milroe out there, Tyler Shaw, McCord, Will Howard, a bunch of guys who, again, I feel like are there's such differing opinions on all these guys. So I think they could go in almost any order here. And then I thought, just to kind of wrap up here, the other big theme from this was just the rich getting richer. And you look at the bottom of this draft and some of the guys that fell, especially Malachi Starks to the Ravens. I mean, he was the number one rated safety for a lot of people. He ends up falling to them. They don't even have to move or trade anywhere. And they end up getting him and pair him with Kyle Hamilton on the back end of that defense. And then Chiefs and Eagles again, you know, Eagles get what was a lot of people's top ranked linebacker in Jihad Campbell at 31. And then the Chiefs getting what was the number one ranked offensive lineman in a lot of places. You know, maybe not over Will Campbell for most, but some people had him ranked number one in Josh Simmons. So, yeah, again, rich getting richer with some of these guys falling to the end of the first round, being able to essentially take the best available as they're already in pretty good scenarios. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in round two and three tonight. Super excited to see where Sanders goes and some of the other quarterbacks, and still some big names out there available for these teams to take tonight. So should be fun. We will talk about it, though, next week. So that'll just about wrap it up for today. So, yep, as always, thank you for listening. If you would, please consider following the show, rating 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.